Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So most people agree that this Talking Head song is about acid. And she was lying in the grass, and she could hear the highway breathing, and she could see a nearby factory, and she's making sure she is not dreaming. Frontman David Byrne says he wrote that about a high school classmate, but lately he's been taking different sorts of trips. For decades now, the musician, artist, writer, and all-around cool guy has been riding his bicycle around the city, and many cities, in fact. But he lives here in New York, and that's what we talked about in a phone call recently. The book is called The Bicycle Diaries, and Byrne says he started getting around by bike in Manhattan back in the late 1970s when it was definitely not considered cool. So what made him start?
What made me start? I think it just, I had a bike, you know, from high school that it was at my parents' house, and I thought, you know, most of the stuff I do is within a 10-block radius, more or less, and a bike would be perfect. I could get to more stuff in an evening. I could get to, I could hear stuff at more than one club, or I could go to an art gallery opening and then go hear some music and then get home and not have to look for a cab in some, you know, neighborhood that cabs didn't like to go into back in those days. All those problems got solved instantly.
Did people say things to you in those days, make fun of you for doing something uncool?
Yeah, a little bit. Some of my bandmates said that I was going to be mistaken for Pee Wee Herman.
What do you think changed then to make biking as cool as it is in New York today?
I think for some folks, they've kind of rethought the idea of living in a city. I mean, New York in the 70s was pretty much on its knees. It was a kind of rough place, and there were some good things about that, but for the most part, it wasn't that great for as a place to live. It's not a place where people would have said, I want to raise my kid there, amongst the crack vials and everything else. And that just, you know, it wasn't going to happen. But a lot has changed, not all of it for the better, but a lot has changed. And so a lot of people now consider the city as a place to live, work, and raise a family. But along with that, they think of, you know, quality of life and getting around, and they might ride around on weekends with their kids, or some of them might ride around and other, you know, to run errands or maybe even get to work. And that accounts for some of it, I think, the fact that people are thinking of the city as a place where they can have an enjoyable life, that they didn't used to think of cities that way before. They used to think of them as a place where you
went to work and then went home.
Yeah, you did work and went home, or you lived there because you had to kind of establish your place in the pecking order, and then as soon as you got a career, you got a house in the suburbs. And people don't automatically think that way anymore. And then there's also kind of a younger generation that, I don't know exactly what happened, but for some reason it just doesn't seem uncool anymore.
Also politics, I think, environmentalism, sustainability, and how it goes with all that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but like you go out to like to hear music somewhere in Williamsburg and whatever, and there's a million bikes. There's nowhere to lock them up, but there's a million bikes out there.
I loved your story in the book about staging a bicycle-related event at Town Hall, and they provided bike valet parking.
They had to. There's nowhere to lock bikes around there. Yeah, at some point, I have a feeling that'll change. Around the train, as there are in Europe, around train stations and places where people gather, theaters and Lincoln Center and those places, there'll have to be like a huge area for parking bikes or underground bike parking or something like that.
David Byrne, my guest on WNYC, his new book, Bicycle Diaries. And you write that you bike almost every day here in New York. Are you a four-season biker?
Yeah, I'll ride in the winter as long as it's not icy or actually snowing. But the cold doesn't bother me that much. I just wrap up.
Do you have different bikes for different conditions?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's if there is a little bit of ice or snow or whatever on the ground, kind of the fat mountain bike tires actually are a little bit safer than the kind of the super skinny ones.
You compare New York to Copenhagen, a bike-friendly city where a third of commuters go to work on bikes. Do they have a great bicycle infrastructure there?
They have a great infrastructure, but it's something that, that came about gradually. It didn't. It's not something that existed all the time. When they first started putting in the infrastructure, adding bike lanes and little stoplights for bikes and all the kind of things that we're kind of starting to see here, a lot of the citizens, a lot of the Danes said, oh, that isn't going to work. Danes won't, you know, Danish people won't ride their bikes to work. They're not going to do that.
Hmm.
But they did. And it became kind of second nature. They think it's going to go up to half the workforce is going to get to work by on bikes within a few years.
That's amazing.
It is kind of amazing.
One of the really interesting questions that you ask in the book is, to what extent does the infrastructure of cities shape the lives, work, and sensibilities of its inhabitants? You want to answer that question? To what extent do you think?
I think it's a huge extent. I think the whether a city is its density, whether the buildings are really high or low, whether there's different kinds of whether the street life is vibrant or if it's dead, even the kind of physical shape of the buildings, the kind of you know if they're kind of old or if they're kind of new and fancy, it shapes the way people think about you know about what it is they live, what their lives are about, what it gives their lives, what their lives mean, and then that in turn, of course, when it comes time for them to affect, make decisions about what their city's going to be, they do more of what it is around them as opposed to often instead of kind of bringing in something that is new to them.
Yeah, nobody wants to change.
Sure.
So you're in a good position to at least be one observer on how that expresses itself in New York because you've spent time in so many cities. The whole book is divided into chapters about bicycling in Sydney and Tokyo and London and Manila and Berlin and San Francisco. So how does the infrastructure of New York express in a way that affects our sensibilities, do you think?
Well, a lot. In certain neighborhoods, there's interesting things to look at. You might run into some friends. You can make an impulse decision to stop in somewhere, that kind of thing. And lots of people in those neighborhoods do the same thing. So there's people know they're going to kind of run into some friends on the street. Their life takes place, part of it anyway, on the street in that kind of way. And that happens because of the way that the city is kind of, or the neighborhood at least, is constructed. You would never just go for a walk around Sixth Avenue in Midtown. It just wouldn't happen. You'd go to a specific building if you had a meeting there.
Yeah, so it's not even city by city. It's also neighborhood by neighborhood.
Yeah, it's neighborhood by neighborhood.
David Byrne, my guest on WNYC, his new book, Bicycle Diaries. As you know, we're in the middle of a mayoral election here in New York, and bike lanes are actually becoming a little bit of a contentious issue. I asked the Democratic candidates for mayor in one of their debates last month if they liked the progressive bike lane policies of the Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadiq Khan, and thought that they would reappoint her on that basis. And listen to the somewhat surprising answer that I got from the Democratic mayoral nominee, Bill Thompson.
And I think I favor bicycle lanes. However, you're hearing a complaint all across the city of New York because communities have not been consulted. They've been ignored. Bicycle lanes have been dropped upon them, and there has been no discussion. That's wrong, and that shouldn't continue.
What do you make of that argument? That's what he was most interested in saying about bike lanes in New York City, that they were sort of dropped into neighborhoods, often gentrifying neighborhoods without much consultation. Ever give that any thought?
I think he's got a point, although a bike lane seems like such a such a tiny way of doing that when in the past whole neighborhoods have been bulldozed and highways shown, you know, put through without the neighborhood having any say in it. And huge condos go up that are clearly illegal, that they've clearly made a deal with somebody, and it completely changes the neighborhood and throws shadows over half the neighborhood. Nobody gets consulted. You know, it's not like the neighborhood goes, hey, do you want Trump to build a tower here? No, nobody gets consulted on that crap either. There's too much money involved. But so I think, you know, I think it's he's right. But if you're going to use that argument, there's other things that are much more destructive to neighborhoods than a bike lane.
You have a section in your New York chapter titled How New Yorkers Ride Bikes. Do you think people in different places tend to ride differently?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's almost a cliche, and New Yorkers are shocked when they go to places like Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Berlin, whatever.
How do they ride?
And you see all the bikes, the cyclists just stop at the red lights.
Oh.
And they just stop. They wait. Even if there's no cars around, they just stop and wait.
Even the cars don't stop at the red lights here.
Yeah, that's right. Last time.
How about those so-called comfort bikes along those lines for New York? You know, New Yorkers, it seems to me, lean forward. And so these new comfort bikes where you kind of sit upright and, you know.
See what's going on a little bit more.
Yeah?
I think.
You're a little higher.
Yes, you're a little higher. You can see what's coming at you.
But it's very laid back.
Yeah, which for me, that's great. The attitude isn't head down and barrel ahead. It kind of reflects a more kind of refined attitude.
Interesting.
Around.
Yeah, not classically New York, though.
No.
All right, lightning round, if you're willing. Quick questions, quick answers. Do you wear a helmet?
About half the time.
Spandex or no spandex?
No spandex.
Prefer the Manhattan Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge?
Wow, Brooklyn Bridge is more beautiful, but it's too crowded.
Whistle or bell?
Bell.
Would you ever be a bike messenger in New York City?
Whoa. I think I'm too old for it.
Do you like bike messengers, or do you consider them aggressive kamikazes?
I think they're going to have to learn to stop at red lights. But other than that, I get along with them fine.
You wear an iPod or headphones ever while biking?
Yeah, when I'm riding on a kind of secure, in a park or something like that.
Cell phone?
No.
No texting and saying.
No texting, no.
Look, Ma, no hands.
I know. I have a problem riding with no hands.
Fixed gear or gears?
Gears.
David Byrne, his new book, Bicycle Diaries. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.